good rule of thumb for the whole subject, which is submission to authority. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, in today's modern politically correct terminology, what would that I just read be called? The woman was not, man was not made for the woman, but the woman for the man, and so on and so forth. Yeah. What does the society call that? The politically correct society would disdain that and call it what? Sexist. Sexism, male chauvinism, and all of that sort of thing. So Paul would definitely be politically incorrect today. Now, verse 10, for this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither in the churches of God. Now, what this passage of Scripture deals with is what the title of the lesson is, and that is submission to authority. And we see four things, and I am going to do quite a bit of reviewing. We just barely introduced the lesson last time. But submission to authority is encouraged. Now, I want to just bring something out. Why is there such an emphasis on authority in the Bible? In other words, why is authority all that important? What is the big deal? Who cares who's in charge? Who cares who's in control? Who cares about any kind of chain of command? Why is that important? Why is that important at all? Why is it important where you work or where you're at, Brother Ryan? Order? Why would an order be that important where you work? Huh? Yeah, have quite an air show. He's a traffic controller. So you just decide, hey, my supervisor sees it this way, and this person just sent me these instructions. I just heard this from the pilot, but who's the pilot? I'm in the tower right now. That could be disastrous. You know, it's like I heard a long time ago a story about an air traffic controlman or a guy was on an airplane, and the pilot called in to the air traffic controller and identified himself and said, requesting landing, voice came back from the control tower and recognized him and said, come in, flight whatever, on runway 12. Come in headed west on runway 12. And about that time, that same pilot heard over the radio another pilot asking for landing directions. And the controller said to the other pilot, all right, come in on runway 12, headed east, and so on and so forth. Well, east, west, this is the way he was directing them. And the first pilot got excited about that, and he got the air controller back on, and he said, "No, wait a minute." He said, "You just told me to come in on runway 12 going west. I just heard you tell the other airliner to come in on the same runway going east." And the air traffic controlman said, that is right. He said, "Y'all be careful now." So that was, you'll have to think about that one. That's the importance of authority. Why is authority important where you work, Sister Ruth? Well, it's just, I mean, you could talk about it all day, but why is authority in your classroom, in the school? Why is authority important? I'm sorry. It would be chaotic. All right? It would be chaotic. Why was authority where you work? You were in charge of a division at your work, Brother McNutt. Why was authority, the recognition of authority, important there? To get the job done. That's kind of the bottom line, is to get the job done. Brother Joe, I'm sorry. If somebody's not in control, what do you have? It starts with a C. Chaos. You have chaos because you're going to have chaos wherever there is anarchy. And anarchy comes into play wherever authority isn't recognized. Where authority isn't recognized, you know, it's Father's Day. We're going to be talking, preaching about the authority in the home, whether it's in the home, whether it's in civil government, whether it's whether it is in the institutions like school, etc., or in a church. If you don't have a recognition of authority, you got a real breakdown. Now, it's interesting to me that people recognize the importance of authority, and they conform to authority on their jobs. Why do people conform to the authority on their jobs? Even if they don't particularly like it, they generally will conform to authority on their job. Why is that? Because they don't want to lose their job. All right? So they really conform to that authority, which, bottom line, they want to keep their paycheck. So they conform to the authority. If the authority says the time to clock in is 8 o'clock, and they decide, well, you know, who are they to tell me when to come in? I'll come in when I want to. Though they might do that once or twice. At least in days gone by, they might do it once or twice. Today, it's crazy. And then they lose their job. So they will conform to the work hours. They're supposed to be on the job. They'll conform to what they're supposed to do on the job. If the police, civil government has certain regulations, they conform to those regulations because they don't want to get a fine or they don't want to go to jail, right? In the home, well, this is a stretch today in many places, not all. But in the home, children conform to authority, and you know this is a stretch now in our day. But at least when I was growing up, children generally recognized their parental authority for one reason. This isn't the best reason, but until they grew and matured a little bit, it worked. Out of fear of getting a spanking or discipline. In the military, that's where you really learn to conform to authority. And sometimes, especially when you first go in, some things that they're telling you to do just seem so stupid and inane. But I found out that the reason that they have you do many things that just seem like they don't make any sense, and you learn to do them without question, right? Because later on, obeying an order without thinking about it might save your life. Is that not true? So in the military, there is a strict adherence to authority. or people go to the brig, which is naval language for jail, prison, or something worse happens to them. When it comes to church authority, people who are so strict and proud about and demand that authority be recognized and rules be recognized, that all stays outside the door where church is concerned. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just stating some facts, right? Many people have a tendency to approach church authority as if it's an option, it's an alternative, and so on and so forth. And it amazes me, people who have held high-ranking positions in the military, they don't think about that. In the military, they're going to be on time. They'll break their neck to be on time. But when it comes to things in the church, there's a time set, we're going to meet at this time or that time or the other time, they may or may not show up at that time. See the inconsistency in all of that? Now, wherever you have a disdain, a breakdown, a loosening up, a contempt for authority, rules, regulations, and so on and so forth, you're going to have a chaotic situation developing, and you're going to have a breakdown in authority. And authority is essential. It's critical. I was saying, thinking about this morning, since it's Father's Day, and don't be surprised if I bring it up in the message, but we have a crisis on our hands today. People talk about the crisis in America, and sometimes they say we have a financial crisis in America. And things are not good economically. And it may be a lot greater crisis than we think. People say we have a crisis in America right now politically. All of the stuff that's going on politically, we have a crisis, and I think we do. But you hear people say that we have this crisis, we have that crisis. We could all fill in the blank here. I remember when we had an energy crisis. Remember that? And so all kinds of crises. I think that right up at the top of the list, you can imagine how far up the top of the list you think it is. I think perhaps one of the greatest crises that we have in America that threatens our survival, our peace, our harmony, everything else, is a crisis of godly fathers, of men, of godly men. I think that is our greatest crisis in many ways. Where authority, male authority in the home, isn't recognized. Now, there's no way of getting around this. I'm not in at all interested in skirting the issue, but the Bible speaks. This is God. God did it. I didn't do it. God did it. If I were doing it, I'd have probably done the same thing. But male authority. Amen? Well, that just almost sticks in people's craw today. The idea of male authority. People have been under this disorientation so long, this dumbing down. Anything that remotely might be associated with what God says, out the door with it. But this is the kind of authority that we find in the Bible. And it's been so undermined and undergirded instead of being undergirded today. So Paul talks here about encouraging submission to authority. We encourage it in our home. We encourage it, if you want to put it that way, in our military. We encourage it everywhere. Our military is breaking down. Homes are breaking down. Businesses are just in a state of chaos, and on and on and on because of an across-the-board breakdown in authority. Now, authority can be abused. The person in authority can abuse that authority. So when we talk about authority, we're not talking about anything but God-ordained, scripturally supported authority. Not do this because I said so. when it goes against and contradicts the Word of God. And then in verse 3, he explains that authority. He goes on to show how it is demonstrated. It's even demonstrated where people can see there are signs of the authority. I mean, that's a given. We talk about the military. They have patches and stripes and bars to signify the authority, all kinds of visible indicators of authority. And then submission to authority established in verse 16. But I just want us to talk for a few minutes, and I hope we can have some good feedback and discussion on this. If authority is so important, if it's so important, and I think we're all agreed that it is important, we should be careful not to undermine authority. What happens to somebody if you own a business and they're undermining the authority of their manager, their supervisor, their boss? What happened when you owned your business, if you had somebody like that, they were undermining your authority? What happened to them, Matt? Brother Johnson? Yeah, you have to let the person go. So there's all kinds of ways that authority can be undermined. You can have it in a home. For example, one time, I won't go get too illustrative about this, but there are cases where somebody brings in a family member. It could be a mother-in-law, a father-in-law, a brother, whatever. They bring them in to live in your home for a while. And the next thing you know, that teenager maybe that you brought in to stay in your home, you find out that they're undergirding your authority with your sons and your daughters. And in a case like that, you can't wait to get them out of your house. Or at least that's the way it should be. It works that way on a job because we understand that you just can't let things like that go on. So let's talk for just a minute. Let's narrow it down to a church. If I could only get this hangnail off here, it's driving me nuts. There. Perfect clippers. All right. I knew a gal one time, a girl, a small girl, and her teeth were just terrible. They were all gnarled and snarled and everything else, and she was just about 10 or 11. And the mother was pleading with the father to get her braces and get them fixed up. The father said, of German descent, he said, "Teeth are made to eat with. That's all they're for, is to eat with." And so, but anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up, but you can use them for other things. All right. Getting off to a slow start. So we want to talk for just a minute about how can authority in a church be undermined? Just give me some thoughts. Maybe you've seen it at a distance. Brother Joe? Yeah. Okay. But how's another way that authority can just be undermined? Where it doesn't, it's made to where people are not going to really recognize or pay attention. Paul, you got a good idea? That's why the Bible says, be not hearers only, but doers also. Because whether it's the children doing it or the parents doing it, they're living it out and saying, you know what, really, what the pastor said there from the Word of God is really not important. We don't have to pay any attention to that at all. Brother Brandon? Oh, Ann? Go ahead. Amen. And see, it's not all about pastoral authority. There's authority over there, for example, with the kitchen. I mean, if there's a way that we're doing things, you know, making constructive suggestions and so on and so forth is one thing. But just to say, you know what, we're going to start doing it this way, and we're just going to change this and change that. And you don't ask the people that are obviously in charge of that. You just go ahead and do it. That leads to chaos and anarchy. And what happens, have you ever heard this saying? Here's something really philosophical. Monkey see, monkey do. That's not my terminology. That's real old. When people see, you see it in little kids. When some person is going against authority, before long somebody else will be doing it. And so on and so forth. So there's lots of ways to undergird authority. Now, what is a way to, what are some ways that we could make it our business, since submission to authority and recognition of biblical right authority is so important and so critical to our health and welfare and even existence, shouldn't we all as a church be supportive and undergird and encourage submission to authority, whether it's in the choir, or it's in the church, or it's in the kitchen, or it's in the nursery, or it's among the ushers, or in wherever it is. If it's that important, shouldn't we be encouraging it and supportive of it? Amen? What are some ways, I want you to really think about this, what are some ways to support, to undergird and support authority? Brother Matt? Okay, being on time for the services, recognizing that. What else? Right, being an example. Now, there's no doubt about it that there's always going to be cases where things could be done better. Things can be changed, where that what the rules can be changed, standards can be changed, and a lot of times that is for the better. But you got to go about it in the right way. Otherwise, you become an undergirder of authority. Now, when a person does that, by the way, when a person is obviously just bucking up against the rules and authority and so on and so forth, the more spiritual people in a church, the more intelligent and sensible people are not going to be impressed by that. It's not going to be impressive to people. And it'll discredit the person who is doing it. See, there's so many things involved with this. Now, we mentioned business, politics, government, all of that, all of these things in terms of authority, and they're all important, but there is no institution on this planet more important than the New Testament church. Amen? That's why the Bible says, do all things decently and in order. And that begins with submission to authority. The primary authority being the Word of God. All authority has to be biblically based authority. Okay, you don't take authority if it doesn't belong. You have no authority there. There are places in your lives where God has made me your authority when it comes to spiritual things. But that doesn't include your marriage life, your everything about your life that I'm to be your authority, all of your social life, I'm your total authority, And that's the way that it is. Even in the Bible, right quick we're shown that we are our children's authority until they get married. And then there are limitations on that authority. The respect and everything should still be there in place and everything. But those kids are no longer, we're not to go intruding into their homes and their lives and treating them like we did when they were 6 years old. Amen? Because abuses of authority cause real problem. Does anybody have any comments or questions at all? Yeah, amen. Now, here's the thing. If I'm trying to exercise authority in a way that is not biblically supported, and you know your Bibles, you're going to know that, right, Brother Bob? You're going to recognize, well, wait a minute, where's he coming from trying to tell us these things that are none of his business? What is that going to, that's going to cast a negative reflection on all of my authority from that point on. There's going to be a certain question, a certain resentment there about that authority. Now, let's just turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Yes, please, Brother Pellicone. Well, absolutely. In fact, that's not just proper, it's more than proper. Something I have always tried to emphasize in any church I've ever been in is that the church is responsible before God. I have a special accountability and responsibility to God for this church. But it doesn't end with me. Everybody here is responsible. It's important what Brother Pellicone just said. If I'm exercising authority that I don't deserve to have, or I'm the authority and I'm introducing heretical teaching, or you think I am, you sincerely think I am, on whatever, then you have a responsibility to come to me like you would to anybody else, with respect, respectfully, and say something about it. Brother Ryan? A younger person going to an elderly person? Okay, well, first, the Bible says you go with them by yourself. That's the first thing. Anytime you have an offense or a question of somebody, you go to them by yourself. And then if they just won't hear you, then you bring a witness. And then, depending on the circumstances, if that's not going anywhere and it's a serious enough issue, then it has to become a church issue. But let's just say that there's an elder in the church, whether it's a pastor or whoever it is, an older person, maybe it's a Sunday school teacher, and you see something that you just think, this is problematic. You know, I'll tell you how not long ago I was talking to somebody in another state, and they said that the Sunday school teacher, the junior worship leader, was bringing music in that was rap music. It's supposed to be Christian music, Christian rap. There's no such thing as Christian rap. It's like talking about a ear dentist. There is no such thing, okay? But he said, you know, this person is much older than I am, but they're bringing this in to our kids, and I feel like I need to talk with them. And here's the operative word, respect. Go to them. Always present your case. This is what the Scripture says. This is why I have a problem, what the Scripture says. And just go as respectfully and humbly as you can and present it to them. And but those things have to be done. If just because a person is older, that doesn't mean they get a pass to do whatever they want. Or because they have a certain position in the church, that doesn't mean they get a pass. But we do approach them in a respectful way, show it to them. And if they're unreasonable about it, for example, if we had that in our junior church and if somebody was just unreasonable, I'm going to keep doing this, who are you to tell me? Well, then they need to go a little higher up, take somebody else with them and talk to them, or go to the pastor finally and get that thing solved. Brother Brandon. Absolutely. That's why the Bible, Brother Green said, wouldn't not saying something about it, just letting it slide. The key word is responsibility. We are all responsible. You're just as responsible for the peace and harmony of this church as I am. Amen? So if you hear, that's why it's so important. If you hear gossip in the nursery or whatever, the church that I was with that sponsored that camp meeting, somebody made the comment that they had visitors the Sunday before, and they had, or not visitors, but first time new members, and they were in the nursery. One of them was working in the nursery and said, I know this is a good church because I didn't hear any gossiping in the nursery. Now, that's telling right there. So if everybody is responsible for the peace and the harmony of the church, whether you're in the nursery or you're in the choir or whatever, and there's somebody who is doing anything that threatens that peace, I mean, you don't just jump immediately, but if they keep on just undermining authority or gossiping or something, whose responsibility is it to say something to them? It's yours. Ryan? Mm-hmm. Right. Not to receive an accusation against an elder. That's an interesting thing. My wife and I were talking about this. We were watching a video last night of a tour of Baptist history. It was really interesting. But what was really interesting was that preachers, pastors, used to be called elders more than they were called pastors. They might be referred to as pastors. But when I got saved in the churches that I was in, you called pastors and preachers and deacons elders. It was Elder Kirkman, Elder Britton, Elder Gibson, Elder this, Elder that, and so on and so forth. That was historically the way that it was. And so that's why when the Bible says don't receive an accusation against an elder or a pastor without bringing some others with you to do that. That's serious stuff. Now, here's the thing. There's a little bit of difference where roles are concerned. Everybody has a responsibility, but I have the main responsibility. That's why I'm teaching on it this morning, for the peace and the harmony of the church. But when, for example, when things really get to a critical point with a problem with authority, I gotta have people in the church backing me up. People can't just go stick their heads in the sands and say, I hate to get involved in any kind of issues. You can't do that because you're a member of the church. I know that what they did is wrong and what the pastor is doing was right. I just don't want to get involved. That's not your choice. Amen? That's like a soldier. say, hey, I know there's a firefight going on right now, but I just assume not stick my neck out. All right? Anybody have a comment or a question right here? So there's, I started to say, there's, if somebody's making an accusation against just another member, that's one thing. But if they're making an accusation against the shepherd of the flock, in other words, that's who they're going for. Now, regardless of what you think about President Trump, he is the president. And we are in a serious situation now when we've got half the country, or the news media wants you to think that, gunning. They want to destroy him. That is very, very, very serious, because so much is at stake if they're able to topple or discredit the president. And that's the way that it works in any organization or any body. So it's especially a fearful thing when, and by the way, this brings me back to something else as far as encouraging respect of authority. What is the most basic, simple, everyday way that in the military authority is recognized? In other words, how are officers recognized by the enlisted men? What is one of the simplest ways? Saluting. Now, why do you think that somewhere from who knows how far back that this practice of saluting a superior officer-wise, why was that ever in? What was the reason for that? It's a show of respect. It's a visible public show of respect and submission to authority, which the lesson there is, there are ways, common everyday ways, that we can show respect for a pastor. Right? Common everyday ways. Ordinary things to show respect. And remember, it's not that I need it. I don't need it. I don't have to have it for me. But the church needs it. People need it. The children growing up need to see that the pastor up there has the respect of my mom and dad because of his office. So those types of things are very important. If the world understands that in the military, why in the world would people not understand that in the church? We live in a day when it's wholesale today, where it is really in fashion to make the pastor as though he's no different than anybody else. That's why I personally have never cared for being addressed just by my first name. That's not for my sake. That's for the church's sake. I think that it leads to a breakdown in the way people think about the pastor. Now, it's not going to make me feel any better or worse about myself, but it is important in a church that adults, for example, children in this church should learn to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, to adults. They should learn respect for adults and not being allowed to run like a bunch of wild Indians, banging into women's knees and running through men's legs and everything like that. And I personally don't think that it's a healthy thing for children to get in the habit of addressing adults by their first names. What do you think about it? I don't think it's healthy at all. So when people need to be taught, they need to learn to go out of their way a little bit. It's really not out of the way. In our crazy way of thinking today, it's out of the way. They need to learn to show respect. Call it respect, call it affection, call it love, whatever you want to call it. But for elders, for pastors, and so on, that's important to a church. Brother Johnson? Exactly. Now, you mentioned, Brother Matt said, we don't call our fathers and our mothers by their first name. We don't. But have you ever known families where the children do call their fathers and mothers by their first name? I've known a few. And you know what they all have in common, the families? They're dysfunctional. They're a mess. Sure, and it'll spread if you let it spread. What is that term they have in the military for enlisted do not fraternize with officers? When I was in the military, I was bouncing around in a ship out in the South China Sea, and there was a young JG, junior grade lieutenant. And he had been an enlisted man, and he had just became an officer. And he was just the nicest guy in the world, just the nicest guy in the world. But he was allowing the enlisted men to get just a little bit too familiar. And not the CO, but even below him, but a higher ranking, they came down on him like a ton of bricks. Now, the reason, and he stopped that, he still remained a nice guy and so on and so forth, but there was no question that he was the officer and they were the enlisted men. Now, the reason that's set up that way in the military is just the same reason for everything else, for the good of the institution. So these are areas that if authority and submission to authority is so important, whether it's the family or wherever it is, we all need to do the very best we can to enforce it.
I inspire myself with what I say. I've experienced in my own home, not with my children, in my parents' home, with my brothers.
Oh.
I just want to clarify that. My children have never called me by my first name.
Your brothers called your father by his first name? Once, probably, right?
Not once, but lost total respect.
It's bad. It's bad when you see that kind of stuff. So, anyway, this is why, and I know this seems like a lengthy introduction. It's not because we don't have a prepared lesson, because we do. But I want to lay the groundwork for why submission to authority is so important. And paying attention to the clock, that's important. Well, I'm glad you said that, and it is true. And I've witnessed it in other churches and with people. But that verse that says, treat him as a father, you know, I try to be fatherly in a nice way, not to take the place of any father, but to members of the church. And when they treat you, you know, so disrespectfully, it does hurt, you know, because we're humans. Now, it hurts because you hurt for the person that's doing it. Where have you learned this behavior? What is the matter? You know, and so think how parents feel. Think how others feel when they're not. I mean, most of you have experienced it in one way or another. You should be being respected, and you feel sorry for the people who aren't doing it, and you can't help but be hurt when people treat you that way. All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer.